Can we have a reading of adequate notice, please, Mr. Balfamis?
Let the minutes show that adequate notice of this meeting as required by PL 1975, Chapter 231, has been published, has been PI, that's what I have, that says 1975, Chapter 231 has been provided by Location Asbury Park Press, posted on the Township Bulletin Board and filed with the Township Clerk on the same day.
And the Times of Trenton as well, posted on the Township Bulletin Board and filed with the Township Clerk on the same date. That's PL 1975. I will send you another one tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pam. Okay, so let's all join me in a flag salute, after which we will stand in silence in respect of those who currently serve and those who previously have served our country. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States
of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Mr. Morris, are we recording?
Yes, we are.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all. Pam, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Vice Chairman Barthelmess. Mr. Conoscenti is absent. Mr. Frost?
Present.
Mr. Lambros?
Here.
Mr. Morelli?
Here.
Mr. Mostyn is absent. Chairman Avellino?
Here.
Mr. Ferrara?
Present.
And Mr. Mangano?
Here.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Pam. First up is approval of our minutes from the August 26th meeting. These did come out via email a while back. And sorry, Pam, I did review them, but I forgot to send you an email saying so.
Okay.
I didn't have any changes. They look good to me, so nice job on that.
Thank you.
Does anyone, any other board member need more time to review those minutes? Anyone have any additional comments, changes for those minutes?
Nope.
Okay. Given that we have no comments or changes, I would ask one of the board members who was at the meeting to make a motion to approve those minutes. Can we get a motion, please?
I'll make a motion.
Thanks, Mr. Ferrara. Can we get a second, please?
I'll second it.
Thanks, Barry. Mr. Frost. Pam, can we get a roll call, please?
Yes, please. Let's see. We have Mr. Ferrara.
Yes.
Mr. Frost.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barthelmess.
Yes.
Mr. Morelli.
Yes.
Chairman Avellino.
Yes.
And Mr. Mangano.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up is resolutions. And the first resolution to adopt tonight is for application Z18-05, James McCaffrey. This was for an extension of time. I did review the resolution. I didn't have any issues with it. And does anyone need more time to review that resolution?
No.
No.
No? Okay. Anybody have any comments, changes required? All right. Seeing no comments, changes, or more time needed, I would like to ask one of the members who was at that meeting to make a motion to approve the resolution.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thanks. Mr. Morelli, can we get a second, please?
I'll second.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Ferrara. Pam, roll call, please.
Yes, Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
Mr. Frost?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barthelmess?
Yes.
And Chairman Avellino?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up is a resolution for application Z19-07. This was Daniel and Domenica Stewart. And this resolution was to allow the withdrawal of the application without prejudice. And I didn't see any issues with it other than one spelling error, which I think was corrected.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So I would like to ask at this time, any members have anything, any need more time or have any comments on this resolution? All right, hearing none, I'd like to ask for one of the members at the meeting to make a motion to approve the resolution.
I'll make the motion, Mike.
All right, thanks, Steve. Second, please.
Excuse me, so Mr. Barthelmess couldn't vote on this one. It's the Sylvie that he was able to vote on. It would only be Mr. Cross Morelli.
No.
Yeah.
No, this wasn't. This is not Sylvie. This is Stuart.
Yeah, this is Stuart.
This is Stuart. The withdrawal.
We'll get to Sylvie next.
Withdrawal for Stuart.
Okay. So just the withdrawal for Stuart. I just need a motion on that. I have Mr. Frost, Mr. Morelli, Chairman Novellino, Mr. Ferrara, and Mr. Mangano.
I'll make it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Morelli.
Yep.
Second, please.
Oh. I'm sorry. And who offered the second?
I'll second, Mark.
Okay, Mark, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Roll call, please.
Yes. Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mangano?
Yes.
Mr. Frost?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
And Chairman Novellino?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And finally, the last resolution for tonight is for application Z19-06 for Sylvie Group. And this was to remove an existing maintenance building, build a new one, and add employee parking and natural gas fueling station. Does anyone need any more time to review this resolution? Any comments? I did make a few suggestions which were incorporated, I think.
They were.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else have any comments on this one?
Nope.
All right, hearing none, I'd like to ask one of the members who was eligible to vote on this to make the motion to approve this resolution.
I'll make the motion to
Thanks.
Approve.
Thanks, Andy. Can we get a second?
I'll second it, Barry.
Thanks, Barry. Pam, roll call, please.
Yes. Hold on just a moment. I'm sorry. Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
Mr. Frost?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barthelmess? Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. Vice Chairman
yes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
And Chairman Novellino?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to our new applications for tonight. First up is application Z20-06. This is the Lenzo Family LLC, and the applicant is seeking to install a propane cylinder fill station at an existing RV sales facility. So if the applicant is ready, please come forward or speak up, I would say.
Okay, Chairman, before the applicant begins, for the record, I reviewed the notice joining property owners and affidavit publication. They are in order. Those notices also included the appropriate Zoom notification for tonight's meeting. As we do in normal course, we pre-mark certain exhibits. These exhibits were also located online for easy access to the public prior to this hearing. They are as follows. A1, jurisdictional packet. A2, application dated 4/21/20. A3, color aerial property prepared by Crest Engineering, dated 3/25/20. A4, survey of property prepared by Crest Engineering, dated 3/23/20. Minor site plan and variance plan prepared by Crest Engineering, dated 3/25/20. Entrance wall signage plan prepared by APCO, dated 9/26/19, last revised March 6, 2020. A7 is the propane cycling filling station layout prepared by Chestmount Engineering, dated 7/1/2019. The board has also pre-marked certain of their own exhibits, which they are marked as follows. BOA-1, engineer's report dated 8/18/20. Planner's report dated 9/1/20. The BOA-3 resolution for bifurcated use variance approval 4/27/16. BOA-4 resolution for minor subdivision and preliminary major site plan approval. dated February 22nd, 2017, BOA 5, resolution of final major site plan approval dated 8/23/17, and BOA 6, fire department report dated 4/20/20. Of course, counsel, we can introduce any other exhibits the applicant needs appropriate for this hearing, but as we previously advised, since we're on Zoom, you're going to have to share that screen and mark it as we go along. So, counsel, why don't you enter your appearance, and the application is yours.
Good evening, members of the board professionals. My name is Jared Pape. I'm an attorney with Heilbrun Pape, and this evening I'm pleased to represent the Lenzo Family LLC with regard to this application. Mr. Vella, thank you for confirming the notice is adequate. This is an amended site plan application. As this board, I'm sure, is aware, this is the Colonial Airstream and RV project that was approved by this board over the course of several resolutions during 2016 and 2017. Since that time, the applicants have been working to construct the project, which is now operational. And the purpose of this application is to just address a couple of items that were not covered in the original applications. So I'm going to give a quick overview of what those two items are. The first item is a sign variance. So there were three signs approved for this application. The two signs at issue this evening are the two signs as you're entering the property off of Route 33. They're installed. They're two wall signs. They're curved, and there's lettering on the signs. And the lettering says the name of the company, Colonial Airstream and RV. As the lettering was being installed, it was brought to the applicant's attention by Mr. Shafai that the lettering exceeded what was approved, which was merely an oversight. And I just want to make two points about the lettering of the sign. The overall square footage that we're proposing is still less than the square footage permitted by ordinance. Albeit the ordinance only allows one sign, we have three, but the square footage is still less than what is permitted. And I believe our planner will touch more on that issue. And more importantly, the overall look of the sign is still achieved. The walls, the two wall signs are built exactly as they were approved. They have a stone veneer that matches the stone facade of the building. The architect took great care in designing the sign to have a brass lettering with a soft backlight. And all of that is still exactly the same. The only issue is that the letters, whether it be because the letters were ordered were a little too large or the spacing was a little different than expected, the lettering takes up a bit more than expected. The second component of this application is for the installation of a propane filling station. So when the applicants were in the process of creating the design for the site plan, they realized that the propane station was not included on the site plan and that approval from this board would be required for the propane station. So what they decided to do was they included the footprint of where the propane station would be located on the site plan. That was approved. The propane station itself was not approved. They knew that they'd have to come back to get that approved, and that's what we're here to do this evening. And just two quick points on the propane station. One, they have received approval from the state. The New Jersey Department of Community Affairs has approved the propane design that was submitted to the board. And two, This fill station is not open to the public. It's really just there to serve the customers. Airstreams require propane to power things like the hot water, the refrigeration. I'm sure that the Lenzos are on and they can testify to that. It would not be open. The propane station would not be open when the dealership is closed. We do not expect it would generate any additional traffic since it's not open to the public. So with that as an overview, we do have the applicants available. The architect is available if necessary, Steve Radosti, and Lorelei Totten is available to provide planning testimony. So if there are no questions at this time, I would like to move to the witnesses.
Mr. Pape, just want to make one comment quickly. This is more than just a site plan update. The propane filling station actually requires a use variance. So I just want to make sure that's on the record.
Thank you for clarifying. And Lorelei is prepared to testify as a planner.
Excellent. Thank you. Board members, any questions before we get started with witnesses?
Yes, I do. I have a question about the comment that it is not open to the public. Will that be part of the final decision, that it remains that way?
Well, Mr. Frost, I did make notations of those two comments by counsel. In the normal course, if the board deems the application favorable, I would include, unless testimony is different, the conditions that it is not open to the public and it's only for customers of the RV facility, and two, that the propane system will not be open when the business is closed, as suggested by counsel, which I would assume be consistent with what their applicant has indicated.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you.
That's correct.
Okay. Anyone else? If not, I would propose we move forward. All right, Mr. Pape, why don't we move forward then with the witnesses?
Sure. So I'd like to first call the Lenzos. I see that they're in the screen together. Let's see. I just lost them. Or did they just?
I'll see. They disappeared.
They just dropped out.
Oh, that's not good.
Bad timing.
Maybe go to one of your other witnesses.
Yes. Yeah. I just got a text. We are frozen. Trying to reconnect. Okay. So. With that being the case, let's move to Lorelei. Lorelei, as mentioned, there are some variances required with regard to the sign and with regard to the propane filling station. I would ask if you could share with the board if you could first provide your credentials to the board, and I'd ask the board accept Lorelei as a professional planner.
Okay, Ms. Totten, before you testify, please raise your right hand. Do you swear from the following testimony about to give the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
She's on. Lorelei's here. She is.
Oh, yes.
Lorelei.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, and just advise the chairman, are you testifying as an engineer or an engineer and planner tonight, that you can put your credentials in?
Yes. Lorelei Totten, Lorelei. T as in Tom, Otten, Crest Engineering Associates, Inc. I'm testifying as an engineer and planner tonight. I have appeared before this board numerous times as both, and I graduated from Lehigh University in 77.
It's not important. Ms. Totten's been before this board as engineer and planner many times in the past, and so and I'm assuming your licenses are still current for both.
Yes, they are. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. Excellent. So we'll accept Ms. Totten as an engineer and planner tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Totten, if you could share with the board your planning testimony as both to the variances requested for the sign and the propane filling station.
Yes. I was wondering if we could look at A5, so I can point out where the filling station is. Minor site plan.
Is this the correct one?
I believe it is.
Is there a specific place you want me to zoom into?
The rear right corner is where that must be the existing conditions plan, though. It doesn't show the fueling station.
It did when this is the one that I did click on.
All right. Well, I can point out where it is, since it looks like the plan might not be labeled.
Well, we have minor site plan and variance plan is A5.
Yeah, this is the survey of property.
That's A4. Do we have, maybe it's the next one on the loop?
Maybe they got swapped.
There we go.
Okay, so we just need to
I'll modify the survey will be A5 and minor site plan will be A4.
Thank you very much. So just as orientation purposes, Route 33 is to the north of this plan. The bank is just, you can see the driveway to it. The PNC Bank is to the right on 33, and the Hom Farm surrounds a good portion of this site, as I'm sure you're all well aware of from previous meetings. You'll see that there is a dashed box in the lower right-hand corner of the property. That box is actually where the fueling station would be located.
Can we enlarge this, Mr. Morris?
And there might be a detail of the fueling station itself in the lower right-hand corner of the drawing.
There.
There, now you can, yes. Okay. So this application is for either an expansion of a non-conforming use or a non-conforming use, because propane filling stations are not listed anywhere in the ordinance. An expansion of a non-conforming use has a slightly less requirement for meeting all of the criteria. And I'm not sure whether this would be an expansion of non-conforming use or just a non-conforming use. So I am proposing to testify as if it's a non-conforming use. The first part of the testimony is with regard to yes?
Lorelei, before you start, why don't we hear from our planner of what she considers as variances, so we're all on the same page. Whether our planner thinks it's a expansion or a full use.
Certainly.
Yeah, Greg, that makes sense. Hi, everybody. As was mentioned earlier, this application was approved previously. Hold on, I'm sorry, I'm just pulling up my memo here. The use was approved previously through a use variance through this board. The propane tank, as Ms. Totten mentioned, is not a permitted use anywhere in the township's ordinance. My opinion on this is that it requires a full new D1 use variance. And in the memo that Pam circulated to the board and is on the township website, I cite a specific section in basically the book that planners use to refer to for these types of questions, the New Jersey Zoning and Land Use Administration book. And what that says in there is that any new accessory use, even, it doesn't have to be a principal use, any new accessory use, and I believe their testimony is going to be that this is an accessory to the now existing RV dealership, any new accessory use still requires a new D1 use variance. So it's my opinion that that is what a D1 use variance, that is what the applicant requires tonight.
Okay, thanks, McKinley. Greg, what's your opinion on this? You agree?
I agree with our planner, because from a practical perspective, when we approved the use variance, we received testimony regarding what type of uses are proposed on the site and how that affects the whole zone plan and the like. Now, if an expansion is a less standard, but maybe this propane use, which is this use, would have completely changed our determination of a use variance. So that would affect the overall picture. So I think that what Ms. McKenzie's indicated, that it should be a use variance, is appropriate. So that'd be their burden, since it's a non-permitted use, and we did not grant all normal accessory uses to an RV facility as part of this project. We only granted specific uses, not all accessory uses. So I think Ms. Totten testifies with respect to the use variance. I think that's where we should be going at this point.
Okay. Mr. Pape, any arguments with going forward as if this is a D1 use variance?
We had discussions leading up to this meeting about whether it's an accessory use or not, and we're comfortable with the planner's determination of the variance.
Okay, so Ms. Todd, I would ask you to proceed along the lines of justifying this as a D1 use variance, just to minimize confusion amongst the board. Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, so with regard to this, I was actually hoping I was going to be able to refer to the Lenzo's testimony about the operations, so I will try to include a little bit more of that in my testimony. The operations of the filling station, just to give you a little background, will be strictly for the use of as an accessory use to fill the tanks on the trailer, the travelers, and the RV vehicles in this facility. Only so that they don't have to leave the facility. It is an expected service for people who own RVs or who are about to buy them. Similar to having their tanks filled, similarly to having their windshield reservoirs filled, or if they're in for service, having the antifreeze topped off, or having the any of those others, the motor oil replaced or topped off, or the transmission oil. So it's very similar to in the way it's used to those aspects. They have no desire, no wish, and have stated in uncertain terms that they are only going to use this filling station for their customers. Somebody who's buying an RV before they take it off the lot, or someone who comes in with an RV or a trailer to be serviced. They don't want to have it open, as stated previously, at all, be after they are closed. It's not going to be, and this is very important, it's not a separate function on this facility. It is an integral function to the way they would like to operate their facility. So that being said, it is my opinion that adding the filling station promotes the purpose of zoning G, which is to provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of agricultural, residential, recreational, commercial, industrial uses that and open space, both public and private, according to the respective environmental requirements in order to meet with the needs of all New Jersey citizens. So this propane filling station is an accessory or incidental use to this very specific type of vehicle sales and service business to which you granted a use variance. The approval of this new use variance will allow for this business to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens, because having the ability to fill their propane tanks is integral and part of being able to provide a full RV and trailer service dealership. And the site is particularly well suited for this because it exists and it is this very specific type of vehicle sales and service center. So it's perfectly suited to house a propane filling center. Yes.
Mr. Pate, Laura, sorry to cut you off. I thought you were done with your testimony with respect to the propane tank. I did see the Lenzos are now back on. If Mr. Pate wanted to go to them real quick to talk about the propane and then get back to you regarding the signs.
Yeah, if that's acceptable to the board, that might be a good decision. I don't want to cut you off, Lorelei, but I think it would make sense for the Lenzos to provide some testimony now.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we're coming back to negative criteria, just so we know where we are.
Okay. Thanks, Lorelei. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Mr. Lenzo, are you both going to testify or just one of you?
I guess we could both testify if we need to. I guess we could
okay.
both.
Then, then both please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the following testimony about to give is the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
We do.
Please state your names individually, spelling your last names, gentlemen.
John Lenzo, L-E-N-Z-O.
James Lenzo, L-E-N-Z-O.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lenzo and Mr. Lenzo. So we were talking about the propane and the purpose of the propane station, and it would be make the most sense for you to answer the question. What is the purpose of having the propane station on your site? If you just kind of walk the board through, you know, why you need it.
Okay. Well, the new units are brought in from the factory, and they come to our dealership, and we get them ready for delivery. And upon delivery, one of the things that we do is we fill the propane tanks, which on a travel trailer is two tanks with propane, and that operates the refrigerator. It would operate the stovetop, the furnace, you know, things like that. There might be one or two more things, but that's generally what it does. So it's necessary to operate the Airstream travel trailer. That's the thing that it does. So.
And this, the purpose would just be for servicing your customers, whether they're buying a new unit or coming in for service. This is not for public use, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And we mentioned it earlier, but just hearing it from you might be valuable. I mentioned that during the approval process a few years ago, it was recognized that the propane station did not make it onto the site plan, and it was your decision to include the footprint of where the propane station would be located. That was included on the site plan, and with the expectation that you would come back for approval. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate, yes.
And since that time, you received the necessary state approval from the New Jersey Department of Community Affairs for this particular propane filling station?
That's correct.
Great. The other questions I had for you relate to the sign, just to shift gears. So and I mentioned this earlier, the sign is installed, the walls are installed, the part of the lettering is installed. We have Colonial Airstream, but we're just missing the and RV. If you could just kind of walk the board through how that kind of came to be. I mean, obviously this has been a project of great scale with a lot of things to comply with. Walk us through how we got here.
Well, that's a good question. I think what you opened up with before pretty much explained it. Really what happened was there was just a lot of components that my brother and I were handling. Pretty much it just got away from us. We saw Colonial Airstream, the and RV never made it to the piece of paper. So I'm not quite sure exactly how it happened, whether it was the engineering or the lettering, like you said, got too big or whatever, but it was always meant to be. That's because that's who we are. And at one point, it just seemed like the square footage got too much. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, it does mean a lot to us because it's just not completing our name as people know it. So, you know, if it weren't something that were so important, we would have skipped that part of it. But it is important. And as my brother said, I really don't know if it, maybe even somebody at one point said maybe it had something to do with the curvature of the wall that maybe wasn't taken into, you know, complete perspective. I don't know. The other part of it is that they said when the gentleman was installing it in the field, maybe slightly that he thought that for its best look, that this is what's going to be. And, you know, an inch here and an inch there might not mean too much to him per se, but in the total square footage or whatever, maybe that part of it came into it. I don't know.
And you agree that the sign, including the stone veneer wall with the brass lettering, soft backlighting, that all remains to achieve the overall look. Yeah. You know, it's a very classy, particular look of your building that we're aiming for.
That's not important to us and the town, I believe, at the time, when to the best of my recollection, and it was done according exactly. I mean, it's exactly the way it was proposed. Just the end RV never got there.
Okay, thank you. That, Mr. Chair, that's all I have of the Lenzos. They're, of course, available to the board if there's any questions.
Okay, I don't have any questions personally. Any board members have any questions for the Lenzos at this point? Okay, I'm not hearing any, so I think we can go back and complete the planning testimony.
Okay, Lorelei, if you could pick up where you left off.
Yes, so with with regard to the negative criteria, the proposal will not have a substantial detriment to the public good because first it's located near the rear of the facility and it's the site slopes towards the back of the property there. Passing by public will likely not even know that it's there. It's small in comparison, very small in comparison to the building and the vehicles that are around it. There's going to be no advertising, no signage on the highway or anywhere for the filling station. And it provides a service to customers who are part of the public. The operations of the facility will not change. There's no additional noise, traffic. There's no change to the circulation that will impact the public. There will be no substantial impairment of the intent and purpose of the zone and zone plan. The request for a propane fueling station, filling station is a very specific function of providing service to buyers and owners of RVs that are being purchased or serviced by Colonial RV. And it will not impair the purpose and intent of the zone and zone plan because it is not a separate function. As I stated before, it's not going to be for sale. It's not going to be where you can come in and exchange your barbecue propane tank for a filled one. It's very specific to the use of the RVs, as was stated by the Lenzos. And again, the facility will not change how the filling station will not change how the facility operates or the traffic circulation. Because this is a D1 variance for use, we need to look at the enhanced quality of proof. We need to reconcile that the variance is not inconsistent with the purpose of the master plan and zone plan, reconcile the use with the zoning omission from the uses permitted in the district. So again, just a reminder that, well, as you all know, that you granted a use variance for the use of the, to be used as a RV and trailer dealership for sales and service. Normally, propane tanks or propane filling stations at a gas station, a home center, or a similar facility are a separate use for sales to customers. Anyone who comes into the facility for that purpose only. In this case, this is a very specific use, very special, and particularly incidental to this particular use that you granted a use variance for previously. So it's very unlikely that the writers of the ordinance did not consider this very specific case where the propane tanks filling station will be used like air tanks to fill tires, containers of oil to top off the vehicle's oil, containers of transmission fluid, windshield wiper fluid refilling, and antifreeze refilling of the radiator during service or when the vehicles are being ready for being picked up at its point of sale. So all of those items are common at many facilities that repair vehicles. However, this is very, very specialized for vehicle sales and service for just the RV trailer, travel trailer facility. So the filling station is used as described by the Lenzos, is a service of the vehicles and the customers expected. Therefore, I feel it's not unreasonable that such a specific ancillary feature like the filling station at an RV dealership would not be specifically listed in the ordinance, and therefore it's not in conflict with the zone and zone plan. And particularly because the board found previously that this particular use of the RV dealership was appropriate for the zone. Therefore, it's my opinion that the deviations from the ordinance can be granted without substantial detriment to the zone and zone plan, and the benefits of granting this use variance outweigh any detriments. And I can move on to the sign variance if you wish.
If there are no questions from the board, then I would ask that you do so.
Before we move on, I would, you know, before we leave the subject of the use variance, I would just like to ask our planner to analyze what she just heard and give us her opinion.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I agree with Ms. Totten's analysis of the situation here. I think this is a very specific use that is associated with this very specific type of dealership. I did have one question as a follow-up. Lorelei, you kept talking about how the people who are going to be using this propane filling station are, for example, when they're coming in for service or if it's a new recreational vehicle for that's being sent out to be delivered. Is there any opportunity for, say, somebody who is living in Millstone or the nearby area with their RV about to take a really big trip? Would they make a special trip here to refill their propane tank before heading out? Or is it really just when people are there for other other services?
Are you asking if it's an Airstream customer or just anyone with an RV?
A specific Airstream customer, someone who had purchased their Airstream from the Lenzo facility.
I suppose the Lenzos would probably be best suited to answer that question. My understanding is that it's for their customers who come in for service or new customers, but they can probably provide a more complete answer.
I could answer that. The answer to that is that we would be using it just for our customers. Now, if someone happens to live in Millstone and they come in for service, it's possible that we would fill it. I'll let you know this too, that when we fill the propane, that generally lasts for the whole year, for the whole season, sometimes more, depending on how much, obviously, you travel. So, when they're coming for service, generally early in the year, we fill the propane up for them and they're on their way for basically the whole year. And a lot of people obviously live far away. So I think you're asking for people in the neighborhood coming in. Is that what you mean?
My question was if someone who owned an Airstream would, if they're getting ready to take a trip, if they would come specifically to the site to fill the propane without having service done.
No, I don't think so. I think, I guess if they're coming in for service and they wanted us to check other things for them, I don't think they would come to us because it's probably not convenient. Propane could be filled, in the campgrounds, for example. That's generally where it's done. So I guess only if they were in for service, it would be convenient for them.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. I apologize for my naiveness in this world. I don't go RVing very often.
Okay.
So thank you for clarifying that. But I'll go back to Lorelei's planning testimony. As she said, and as I think I agreed with her, based on her testimony and the Lenzo's testimony, it does sound like this propane filling station is an accessory use to the RV dealership. As she pointed out, the same way, if you were going to get your car serviced, they might top off your windshield wiper fluid. I think that was a good analogy. So I agree with her analysis on that. In terms of the negative criteria, I think she hit the nail on the head. It's not anywhere visible from a public right of way. Even though it is tucked back in that back corner closer to the property lines, it's a very large site and it's still far from the property lines and far from neighbors on the either side there. When you look at my memo included an aerial, an image of the site here, and I believe the applicant did as well in their application, but you can see there are no real uses that are nearby that this could negatively affect. So I am comfortable with Lorelei's testimony. The only thing I haven't heard yet and I don't know if someone was going to speak to it, was any safety issues associated with this, if there was a discussion with the fire department or if there needed to be. I know there are bollards around the station, filling station itself, but if there could just be some discussion about that as well.
We did receive a letter from the fire department, and they had no concern. So there were no negative comments from the fire department. And as we mentioned, this has passed all the necessary state approvals as well.
Okay. There are bollards around it, correct?
Yes, the bollards are currently installed. As we mentioned it, the footprint and the bollards and the gate were part of the site plan approval last time. So that's, it's already set up exactly as it was approved on the plan, including the bollards.
Okay. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thanks, McKinley. And I just want to note for the record, Matt's report does indicate that there's 4-foot high steel bollards protecting the fenced area where the propane tank is. One question I have regarding the traffic impacts. How often do we expect a natural or a propane gas delivery to this facility? I'm assuming the tank, it's 1,000 gallons, but it'll eventually need to be refilled. Do we have a number on how often that would get refilled?
Again, I think this would be a question, not to put you on the spot, but I think the Lenzos would probably be the best suited to answer this question. You're still muted.
They need to unmute themselves.
Mr. Lenzo. Oh, okay. Poke them.
Can we?
I did request that they unmute, but I'm not too sure if they will get that notification.
Okay, we can come back. We can come back to them later.
Okay.
Okay. I can tell you this. Each trailer has 2 30-gallon tanks. So I didn't do the math, but I'd have to calculate pretty much how I think it's 1,000-gallon tank. I don't know off the top of my head, but I can tell you if I do quick math. If we sell. It's a little convoluted.
Yeah.
So all I know is each trailer has 60 gallons. So I'd have to do the math on how many I sell, and roughly once or twice a year.
60 gallons.
Now, I'm sorry, I keep saying gallons. It's pounds.
Yeah, it's pounds. You got to do the conversion.
So I can't do the conversion. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little tough.
I wasn't prepared for it, but I would imagine once or twice a year we have to refill it. That would be my wild guess right now.
Okay. Again, it sounds to me like it's not very often. I just wanted to double check that if someone knew. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right.
All right, why don't we move on then to the sign variance.
With regard to the sign, by allowing the Lenzos to complete the sign, it carries out the purpose of zoning for the general welfare of the public of I to promote a desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangements. Currently, the sign is a little lopsided. It starts and then it's got a bigger space at the end, so it looks like something's missing. And what's missing are 3 letters. So the addition of these 3 letters will complete the sign, make it look balanced, and complete the visual aesthetic that was so carefully designed by the architect and the Lenzos and presented at the board of before you for the use variance as part of the variance for the signs. So with regard to the negative criteria, and obviously, it's the appropriate location for a sign. I should state that as well, even though it's pretty obvious. The proposal will not have a substantial detriment to the public good for the following reasons. A variance was previously granted for three signs with a total of four faces. One sign with two faces, and where one sign and two faces is permitted. The size and location of the monument sign is not changing at all. The walls on which the two signs in question are mounted will not change. They've been installed as previously noted in accordance with the plans that were approved, and they're at the entryway, creating a very classy entrance to this very classy facility. So the variance is to add three letters. When you look at Colonial Airstream, it's a very small piece of the entire sign. There's no substantial impairment to the intent and purpose of the zone and zone plan and ordinance. And this is the reason why. The variance was granted for the three signs. The plans did stipulate the specific size of the signs or the letters mounted on the walls as 22 square feet for each wall. But it needs to be noted that in this district, a single double-sided sign can have an area of up to 96 square feet each side for a total of 192 square feet. The proposal here is for a two-sided monument sign, which is already installed, 42 feet on each side, or a total of 84 square feet. When the three letters are added to each of the wall sign, the new sign lettering will be 33.2 feet per wall for a total of 66.4 feet. So that's a grand total of just over 150 square feet. So, which is 40 feet square feet less than the maximum sign face permitted of 192. So therefore, since the original variance was granted for four sides of sign face already, and the total sign size is still less than what the ordinance permits, I don't believe there's any substantial impairment to the intent and purpose of the zone and zone plan. And to allow the added three letters to be put on each sign, I believe the benefits of that outweigh any detriments of exceeding the amount of sign that was approved with the original plan.
Thank you, Lorelei. Mr. Chair, we do have, we haven't called him, but Mr. Radossi, the architect, is available. Yeah.
Before we move on, Mr. Pape, I'd like to ask our planner, McKinley, to respond to what she just heard and give her opinion on what she just heard.
Sure. Mr. Chairman and the board, I really don't have a problem with what they're requesting here in terms of sign variance. In my mind, the retaining wall that they're putting the lettering on is a more imposing feature. It's larger, it's bigger, it's already in place and previously approved. The addition of the few extra letters is not going to change really the way this looks from the public's perspective, from someone driving down the highway, from someone entering the site. It will provide additional information. It's one of those types of bulk variances that typically gets subsumed into a D1 use variance, since the ordinance wasn't designed with this type of use in mind. So I have no problem with the testimony Lorelei gave and with the variance itself.
Okay, thanks, McKinley. Board members, do you have anything further before we move on to the next witness? Any questions, burning questions that you want Ms. Totten to answer right now?
Yeah, I have a question. Can I present it?
Yeah, please.
All right. Going back to the business, first let me preface my understanding before I ask the question. What I'm saying is it makes complete sense to me to have a facility such as this on their property to service their customers, whether it's a new vehicle that's being purchased or somebody coming in for a repair. My question, though, is a little different in trying to determine who is a customer and what constitutes a customer. What I mean by that is this. Suppose I have a vehicle, let's say I'm out of state, I've never been to this facility, and I'm aware that it exists, and I come in there, and I say, listen, I'm from out of state, I need a refill. How do they handle something like that? Are they going to say, no, we can't help you, you'll have to go somewhere else? Or would they simply say, all right, we'll try to accommodate you since you're here, and so on? How do you handle a situation like that?
I think it should first be noted that there really will be no indication to the public that there even is a propane filling station on this site.
Okay.
As it was mentioned, it's in the rear of the site, not visible from the street. So at the outset, I think it's worth noting that the public likely would not even see it. And the Lenzos are prepared, and I'll ask them, but the purpose of this is really just to service their own customers. Since they're on the line, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes, that's correct. But, I don't want to, if that gentleman called me and said he'd like to get service, he could become my customer. That's correct. I mean, so we do sell new Astrings and we do sell used Astrings. So it is possible that that customer could come in for servicing, but we're not going to be, people aren't going to be driving by and filling up. Number one, it's inconvenient because they can certainly just go to any area and fill up a propane station. They wouldn't come directly to us. So I want you to know.
Okay.
But yes, we
Thank
would.
You.
Yeah. That the truth is that if somebody did come in for service, yeah, we could. And they asked us for it. And like I said prior, a lot of times the propane is basically, it lasts you a year. So I don't know how often that would even happen, even if they did come in for service.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other board members have any burning questions right now? If not, I would propose we try and move on. All right, Mr. Pape, please continue.
Mr. Chair, that actually is our direct presentation. I was just mentioning before that Mr. Radossi, the architect, is on the line. I have no questions of him, but if the board felt it was necessary to hear from him, he's available. So I just wanted to make that known. But that is our direct presentation.
Okay. The one thing I would like to ask before we go further is, Matt, you're on the line, I assume. I did read your report. There wasn't a lot in it, but do you have any questions at this point or issues that we need to resolve?
They already have fire department's approval, and apparently they have the community affairs approval. I haven't seen the letter yet, but I'll find it. And I really have no problems with this project. So.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. All right, so if Mr. Pape is done, then I think at this point our next step should be to open this application up to the public. I'm not sure if there's any public out there tonight, but if they are, please identify yourself, and we'll make you enabled to ask questions and provide comments on this application.
I do not see any public there other than professionals and applicants for both applications.
Okay. So seeing no public, I'll close the public portion. It looks like 8:28 p.m. Mr. Pape, do you want to sum anything up for the board before we begin our discussions?
Nothing other than just to say that the Lenzos have obviously made a huge investment in making this their permanent location. Obviously, they've made a lot of effort to make the property classy, and it's they've kind of like I said, it's their permanent location, and these items are just some follow-up items, really, just to finish the completion of their project.
Okay. All right, so we're going to move on to the board discussion. Does anyone want to start? If not, I'll offer my opinions. But if anyone wants to go first, you know, please let me know.
I actually have driven by there numerous times and actually thought why RV wasn't on the sign. I don't see any negative impact on the surrounding areas. For the company, I see it being a plus because it's actually what they offer. And I see really no negative impact whatsoever on this. But I have wondered why it never was on there to begin with.
Okay. Thanks, Andy, for sharing that one. Anyone else have anything?
Mike. I've actually gone through the site, and the location, it makes perfect sense that there should be, that there would be a filling station for those tanks. So that makes perfect sense. And as far as the sign is really nice looking. I mean, I remember we went around in circles about what it might look like. It's, you know, lit from behind, and it's really nice. So the extra couple of letters is not an issue. So I think everything, I would agree with everything we've talked about.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Anyone else? Okay, so I'll share my thoughts on the application. So with regard to the use variance for the propane, I do agree that it is an appropriate place because of the RV dealership being there to have this propane filling capability, again, for the RVs, you know, limited to the RVs. You know, had it been, you know, a general purpose filling station for anyone who wanted propane, I may have a different opinion. But, you know, with regard to the proposed use and meeting the positive criteria, I think it is specifically suited for this site because of the RV dealership being there. With regard to the negative criteria, I again agree with both planners that I don't see huge negative impacts. The one possible concern that I would have is around safety and environmental impacts, but it's very slight concern. And again, you know, we do have, you know, we had people talk about, the planners talk about, well, it's like, you know, putting motor oil in the car or antifreeze or windshield wiper fluid. And, you know, one of the things that we, one of the principles we have in town is, you know, we don't have any automobile service stations capabilities in town. And the main reason for that is environmental concerns. But here we're talking about, you know, propane, and, you know, it doesn't spill on the ground like oil or antifreeze or something, you know, liquids like that would. The worst that could happen is it could possibly escape into the air, perhaps. But I don't see a huge environmental danger here, which would be my other concern. So I would say, you know, I would agree with both planners. There's the negative criteria in that with regard to the use variance. With regard to the signs, again, the total square footage is under what would be permitted had it been one sign. So I think allowing a few extra letters makes perfect sense. I actually like the idea of having the sign on the wall as it's, you know, as, you know, has been done. And again, I think, you know, one of the things that annoys me a lot of times driving and looking for a place is it's, you know, it's hard to spot sometimes a sign that's not closer to the road. And I think this sign is I've driven by, it's fairly easy to spot and, you know, gives a person plenty of time to decelerate and turn into the dealership. So I think it's a good plan. I don't see any negatives to increasing the sign to have a few more letters and having a few extra square foot to do so. So overall, I'm feeling very positive about this application, and I don't really see any reasons to not approve it. But board members, please, you know, feel free to disagree. And you know, if you think I'm missing something, you know, please share your thoughts. Does anyone have anything further? Okay. So I'm not hearing anything. Mr. Vella, I know you've probably captured a few conditions during the discussion. Should we vote in favor of approving this variance? Could you run through those, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. One, that the propane filling station shall not be open to the public other than for RV customers of the applicant. The propane filling station will not be open when the business is closed. Condition, they will provide zoning board with approval from the DCA. And those are the only comments I had, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Vella. So at this point, I would like to ask our board members to make a motion to either approve this application subject to those conditions that Greg just read, or additional ones if you have any, or alternatively, a motion to deny the application. So can someone make a motion, please?
I'll make a motion to approve with the conditions expressed.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Morelli. And can we get a second, please?
I'll second.
All right, thanks, Mark. Pam, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mangano?
Yes.
Mr. Lambros?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
Mr. Frost?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barthelmess? Steve?
Unmute yourself, Steve.
I am unmuted.
Oh, he is. Okay. Vice Chairman Barthelmess?
Yes.
Okay. And Chairman Novellino?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Have a good night.
Thank you, Council. We'll send a draft resolution to your attention for next meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Back to our agenda. Does anyone need a break? Should we take 5 minutes, or are we all okay to go? Keep going.
Keep going.
All right, we'll keep going. So next up on our application list is application Z20-08 TLP Realty LLC. And this application is for a construction of a 3,198 square foot garage to be added to an existing building. So if the applicant is ready, please come forward. And Mr. Vella, you could read your notice now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I reviewed notice of joining property owners and affidavit of publication. They are in order, and the board has jurisdiction to hear this matter. And that notice did include the notice to the Zoom meeting requirements. I am presently looking for the exhibit list. Council, why don't you do your introduce yourself, and then I will read the exhibit list once I find it.
Thank you, Mr. Vella. Chairman Novellino, board members, professionals, and staff, Attorney Peter Licata of the law firm of Sonnenblick, Parker & Selvers of Freehold, New Jersey, on behalf of the applicant TLP Realty. I have with me tonight three witnesses, the first being Mr. Tom Pato, who is a principal of TLP Realty, as well as TLP Climate Control Systems, one of the main tenants or occupants, I should say, of the site. Our project engineer, Gary Chang, and our professional planner, Mr. Jim Higgins.
Okay, thank you, counsel. For the record, as I indicated before, the board has marked certain exhibits into the record. I will read them into the record as follows. A1 is the jurisdictional packet. A2 is application dated 4-6-20. A3 is the aerial of the property. A4 is waiver request from requirements providing the EIS. A5, site plan prepared by Geller Civ, dated 3-10-20. A6, colored architectural plans of garage addition prepared by Solutions Architecture, dated 7-20-20. The board has also marked their own two exhibits, BOA1, which is the engineer's report, dated 8-25-20, and BOA2, the planner's report, dated 9-11-20. Counsel, of course, you can introduce any additional evidence that you want during this hearing that you deem are appropriate. I do believe you do have an additional aerial that you may mark. When you do that, you have to share the screen. We'll mark it. It would be A7, would be the first document. Then you'll have to submit a hard copy to the planning, to the zoning board for their files.
And Mr. Vella, we do have that. Mr. Morris has that that additional exhibit, so he can show that at the same time.
We'll mark A7 as the colored aerial with proposed addition.
Thank you.
All right. So before we get started, let's deal with this EIS waiver first. It's a checklist item, right, Greg? Or
EIS? Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
All right. Any issues with waiving it, Matt?
Absolutely not. They're only proposing a building over an existing paved area. No environmental impacts anywhere.
Okay. Thanks. Any board members? Any board members disagree with waiving this EIS? All right, I'm hearing none, so let's move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may ask Mr. Pato to be sworn in.
Sir, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the following testimony about to give is the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, sir.
Thomas Leo Pato. 18 Haviland Drive, Millstone Township, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Just for the record, Mr. Pato is dialed into the meeting by his phone, and on the window view of participants, he shows up by way of cell phone number 732-647-6128.
Correct.
Thank you, Mr. Pato. Mr. Pato, you are the principal of the applicant as well as TLP Climate Control Systems, are you not?
Yes, sir.
And your business, TLP Climate Control Systems, does occupy a significant portion of this site in one of the two buildings?
Correct.
And you're proposing a four-bay garage be added to one of two existing buildings?
That's correct.
And if approved and constructed, that garage would enclose what is currently paved space behind the building?
That is correct.
And within that paved space, do you currently use it for the loading and unloading of trucks outdoors?
Yes, and just truck storage.
And truck storage. And that's outdoor all 12 months of the year?
Correct.
Okay. And if the board were to approve the addition, what would you use the garage for? What operationally does that assist you with?
Indoor storage for my trucks, mm-hmm. and also equipment staged for jobs.
And when you say equipment staged for jobs, that would be HVAC system components and the like that you at times store outdoors currently?
That's correct.
And if approved and built, you would cease that outdoor storage for those materials and bring them indoors?
Correct.
And also, if approved and constructed, is it your intention that the architectural features, colors, and textures of this addition harmonize and blend, in other words, match the exterior of the existing building so that it would appear to have been part of its original construction?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. In terms of the area covered and the parking permitted, is it, or parking that would be provided, storage for vehicles and equipment, is it effectively a one-to-one trade by way of the space you're enclosing?
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions of Mr. Pato at this time.
Okay. Board members, any questions for Mr. Pato right now? All right, sounds like none. So let's move on to the next witness then, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would call Gary Chang, our professional engineer, to be sworn in.
Mr. Chang, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the following testimony about to give the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name.
Gary Chang, C-H-I-A-N-G.
And Mr. Chang, are you going to testify just as a professional engineer tonight?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Can we get Mr. Chang's credentials? I don't think he's testified before this board before.
Gary, could you give the board an overview of your credentials?
Yes, I'm a graduate of NJIT, and I've been a professional engineer in the state of New Jersey for over 20 years. I have testified in several municipalities. I have testified in Millstone before also.
Okay. Maybe it was in front of the planning board, or maybe I just forgot. And you are licensed in New Jersey?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We'll accept Mr. Chang as a professional engineer tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chang, could you briefly describe for the board the location and size of the proposed addition?
The proposed addition, it's in the rear of the Southwest Philly building. And the building size is 3,224 square feet, 20 feet high. And we are putting it right on the pavement area. And we will not have any other site improvement other than minor curb and pavement repair for the placement of the building.
Thank you, Mr. Chang. I believe in his review report, Mr. Shafai requested, in addition to confirming the dimensions you just laid out, the brightness of the exterior lights that are proposed, and seek specifically confirmation that the light fixtures over the newly proposed garage doors would not generate more than 1/2 foot candles at the property line. Could you address that question?
That's correct. It will not exceed the 0.5 foot candle because they are just security lighting.
And in preparing your testimony, did you have the opportunity to review the architectural plans and discuss them with the architect?
Yes, I did. Outlines were submitted before there was a revision in the architectural plans. That's why there was a difference in square footage and also dimensions and also the building height. The new architectural building height is 20 feet. The new square footage is 3,224 square feet, which is a little different from the architectural plan because the architectural area is based on the interior walls and not the exterior. And the dimension, it's 41 feet and 4 inches by 78 feet.
What was the dimension? I'm sorry.
It's 41 feet, 4 inches by 78 feet.
And that's dimension on the outside of the building?
Yes.
That is the correct addition then?
Yes.
And that adds up to 3,220, you said?
24.
224. I didn't have that number. Okay.
Okay.
Excuse me. You know, we're getting a lot of feedback with Mr. Licata and Mr. Chang. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Are you gentlemen close to each other, or I just have a hard time hearing it.
Okay. How about now?
How about now? Sounds good.
Okay.
Here we go. Thank you.
And also, please, Mr. Pato, there's a woman in the background talking, and we could hear her better, like right now. She's talking. Do you
hear
her?
He's getting yelled at.
Yes, he's getting yelled at. Bad timing.
Mr.
Pato's getting yelled at. Mr. Pato.
Please mute yourself.
Thank you, Fran.
Sorry.
Mr. Pato is here with me, and he is muted now. So
thank you.
Okay, then someone. Okay,
I
thank
think
you.
That was me. Sorry.
Oh my goodness, Mr. Shafai.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Sorry.
No, thank you, Ms. DeAndrea. I would make Mr. Chang available for questions of the board and its professionals.
Okay. I see Matt just left, I guess to go address whatever he was getting yelled at for. But in his site plan, he also asked to have the utilities that were going to this structure addressed. So correct. What utilities are going to be there?
There's only going to be electric.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We can continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If there are no other questions for Mr. Chang at this time, I would call forward Mr. James Higgins, our professional planner.
Mr. Higgins, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the following testimony about to give is the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, sir.
James Higgins, H-I-G-G-I-N-S. And I am still a licensed planner in the state. I've been licensed for about 42 years.
Yeah, we haven't seen Mr. Higgins for a while, but testified many times before this board. We'll accept him as a professional planner tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Higgins, could you tell the board what you've reviewed in preparation for your testimony tonight?
Well, sure. I reviewed the application, the site plan, the architecturals. I visited the site. I reviewed the board's experts' reports, and I looked at the aerial of the site also. I looked at your zoning ordinance also in connection with the application. the site is a 3.47-acre site. It has two frontages on Reich Drive, because Reich Drive actually surrounds the entire block, block 1601. It has the site has dimensions of 445 feet in one direction and 340 feet in the other. And it's occupied by two buildings. One of the buildings is occupied by basically two recreational type uses. The other building is occupied by the applicant. It's a smaller building than the first building I described. It's around 11,900 square feet in area. And the proposed garage storage building will actually be constructed directly abutting the building that the applicant occupies. That's going to be a 3,224 square foot building. And because while accessory buildings for storage are permitted in the zone, the maximum size of an accessory building that's permitted is 1,000 square feet. So because this building is 3,224 square feet, it technically is not permitted and a technical D1 variance is required. The normal standard for a D1 variance is that you'd have to demonstrate that the site is particularly suited for the use. In this instance, I don't think you would look at this D1 variance as you would normally look at a D1 variance because the use itself is permitted. The issue is not the use, the accessory use. The issue is the size of the accessory building. So I think the proofs would lean more towards the type of proofs you would have for a conditional use where the use would not meet the specific condition, although the use itself is a permitted use in the zone. So I'm going to approach it from both aspects. First of all, with regard to the fact that the site can accommodate the use despite the need for the variance, the proposed accessory building directly abuts the principal building. And when you look at the architecturals, there's actually a 2-hour fire-rated wall that runs along the entire rear of the building that abuts, of the proposed accessory building that abuts the principal building. And one door that accesses the principal building is actually being filled in. So there's no direct access from the proposed structure to the existing principal building. They would access it by going out on this, I believe it's the southwest corner of the building, out of a door and then directly into another door into the principal building. So I think the reason that this is an accessory structure is because of the fire-rated wall that's required. If it weren't a fire-rated wall required, there could be access directly between this accessory building and the principal building, and it would become part of the principal building. So when somebody would look at this and from the outside, you would not realize that this is an accessory building. You would think it is actually part of the principal structure. In addition, the proposed building coverage is slightly increased, but it's still approximately 1/2 of that's permitted in the zone. And the impervious coverage also is less, is not being changed at all, and it's less than what's permitted in the zone. the primary use of the building also is to house vehicles and equipment that are currently stored outside on the site, some of which are stored in the same location as this building. So when I look at this, I think clearly the site can accommodate the use, despite the fact that there is a variance for this building, which is larger than what would be otherwise permitted. With regard to particular suitability, I think with regard to the location on the site that they're proposing this building, it is the best site location on the site for the subject building. It's directly adjacent to the principal building. It has access out one door and directly into another door. So somebody leaving the accessory building going into the main building would be outside for a minimal distance, probably about 5 to 10 feet from looking at the plans. And again, the majority of the equipment and the vehicles stored in this building would be are actually parked or stored in this location at this time. So I think it's really the best location on the site, so it's particularly suited for the use. As terms of detriment, I don't see any substantial detriment to the construction of the building. It's in an interior portion of the site. It's not visible at all from the street and not readily visible from surrounding properties. The building, again, will appear to be part of the principal building because it directly abuts the principal building. And it's so that when I look at this, oh yeah, and also one question that came up earlier in the reports is the facade of this building will exactly match the facade of the principal building, the existing facade. So I don't see any substantial negative impact in terms of the visibility. There's no negative impact in terms of drainage because there's no increase in impervious surface. And basically, I think this is where on the site this building should be constructed. So I think there are special reasons for the granting of the variance, and I don't see any substantial negative impact either to your zone plan or your zoning ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions for Mr. Higgins at this time.
Okay, before we move on, I would like to ask our planner, McKinley, if she can respond to Mr. Higgins' testimony and let us know what she thinks about it.
Absolutely. I agree with Mr. Higgins' testimony with the exception of one point, which is really more of a technical point. The township's ordinance was amended this year regarding accessory buildings on commercial sites like this. And what is permitted is the size of the accessory use is much smaller than is proposed here, but they are specifically limited to enclosing equipment that's really just to be used on site. The intent of it is for site maintenance, lawnmowers, that kind of stuff. So because this very large garage is being proposed to house trucks as well as HVAC equipment to be used off-site, that was the reason I called it out in my memo as the D1. But that's really a smaller technical thing issue because the rest of Mr. Higgins' testimony plays right into it. This is an accessory structure abutting a principal one. As he said, if there was a door connecting the two, it would just be an expansion of the principal structure. It's hidden behind, they are two buildings, but they almost present the shape of an L. I don't think it's going to be visible from any of the public rights of way. It is going to mesh in with the color and appearance of the existing buildings. If you didn't know better, I think you would have thought this was here the whole time. The only thing I will also add is that I believe there's a design waiver that is required just for the roof pitch. It's one of these design waivers that the design waiver is designed for not warehouse buildings. The roof pitch is required to be 5 on 12, and that would not be appropriate for this type of building. So that waiver is required, but I think the roof that's proposed is appropriate for this. And I don't know if the architect's going to speak to it, but I would imagine he would agree with me. I don't see any negative effect on the township's master plan or zoning ordinance. I agree with the testimony Mr. Higgins provided.
Okay, thanks, McKinley. Before we move on, just want to quick check with board members. Do you have any questions on what you heard from Mr. Higgins or any questions for Mr. Chang? Sorry, I forgot to ask about that earlier. But any questions for those two professionals at this point before we move on?
Mr. Chairman, can I have a point of clarification?
Yeah, sure.
And I don't know whether maybe Mr. Higgins could answer. Oh, Mr. Higgins could answer the question, and then maybe Matt could chime in. It's a two-part question. One, let's assume there was access between the two buildings. Then you would need no variances for this application. Would that be accurate? Because this would just be accessory, adding expanding the building. Is that correct, Mr. Higgins?
I believe so. I did not check the lot cover. Well, the lot coverage is below. So yes, I don't think any variance is necessary. Yes.
Okay. So the only reason that we're here for a variance ed is because there's no access between the two buildings.
That's so correct. The reason for no access is the fact that it's for fire safety reasons.
And that is a building code issue that's requiring it rather than an architectural designing it. Would make sense to have a door between the office and then the garage area.
That's correct. And it's also actually advances one of the purposes in the municipal land use law with protecting the public from fire.
Mr. Chairman, I have no question. I just want the board to be aware that it's more of a technical issue gets us to the D1, because if they were build it with the access, they would just hear before amended site plan approval with no variances at all.
Yeah, understand. So thanks. Let's move on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That would conclude our affirmative case.
Okay. I guess at this point, I have a couple of questions, I think, maybe for the applicant. I guess one question or one concern I would have is the activities that take place within this garage. I'm hoping or asking if the applicant has any intentions of repairing any type of automobiles in this facility or if it's just for storage only. And the second question I would have for the applicant is there any intention to rent this out separately from the main building in which there's a current tenant? So can we get answers to those?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Pato is dialing back in, but before he started doing so, he indicated to me that the answers to both questions is no.
Okay. That's good. Again, you know, when I see the word garage, I think of auto repair sometimes, and that's clearly a different use. That's something we don't really have permitted anywhere in Millstone. So I think we may want to just make that clear that this wouldn't be for any type of auto repair. And again, I know the current applicant and the current tenant has no intentions of doing that, as he just testified, but actually we'll have him come on and say that too. But we want to make sure no future tenants would get the idea they could open any type of auto repair business in this garage.
We certainly understand the requested clarification. And Mr. Pato, you're still under oath, and you've heard the chairman's questions. Would it be your intention to do any repair work within this space if it's approved?
None whatsoever. It'll be totally occupied me for just solely storage for my trucks and equipment for my business.
And you would not rent it out in future to a third party?
No, totally for TLB.
Thank you, Mr. Pato.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Those were the only questions I have. I guess at this point, what I'd like to do is open up this application to the public. I don't know if any public's out there, but if you are, please identify yourself so that we can get you sworn in and you can ask your question or provide your comments.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I did have one question for Mr. Pato. Would you mind if I jumped in before we let the non-existent public speak?
No, please do so.
Okay. When our office was there on a site visit, there was a lot of what I believe is HVAC equipment that was surrounding the refuse container. Is that the equipment that you're talking about will now be stored within the garage?
I think you have to unmute yourself, Mr. Pato.
Correct.
Okay, so all of that, that's no longer going to be visible. That will be completely hidden within the new structure.
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. Thanks, McKinley. Do we have any members of the public that want to come forward at this point and ask questions or provide any testimony? You see anyone out there, Pam?
We can't hear you, Pam.
Pam, are you still out there?
I'm sorry. Yes, my cat was crying before. Yes, I'm still here. No, I do not. Very professional. Excuse me. I do not see anyone from the public out there. Thank you, Mr. Shafai. Thank you.
Okay. So seeing no members of the public, let's close the public portion at, it looks like, 9.05 p.m. All right. Do we need... I guess we can move into a board discussion now. Anybody want to start?
I have a question, if somebody could answer it. Okay. I'm just curious to know, will there be any storage of flammable materials? I don't mean things like, a desk or something that could burn. I mean things like gasoline or chemicals or solutions used in, germane to that business.
Mr. Pato, could you respond to Mr. Frost's question, please?
Yeah, there will be no flammable devices or equipment stored in that space.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other board members want to ask any questions or, share their thoughts on this application at this time? If not, I can start. So again, I think, based on the planning testimony, this is a D1 use variance. The use, I think, with the constraints we're going to put on it, which is it's not, any type of automobile repair facility. It can't be rented separately from the main building. I think, with those constraints on it, I think it is... an accessory use that is particularly well suited for the site, and because of the main business there being HVAC equipment, which again I think is best to be stored indoors along with the vehicles, to keep those indoors, I think is a plus for the other residents of the business park or the other tenants of the business park, let's say. I don't think anyone actually lives there. I see, the positive criteria being met that way. As far as the negative criteria, I think I agree with both planners. This is not going to provide any negative visual impacts, nor impair the intent of the zone plan, with the constraints that we're putting on this. I don't have any issues with this application in terms of reasons why I wouldn't approve it. But that's my thoughts. If you guys see something I'm not saying, disagree with me, please share. Anyone? Okay, so I'm not hearing any further comments from the board. Mr. Vella, I think you might have captured one or two conditions, perhaps. Can you go through those?
Greg, you have to unmute yourself.
That's a quote of 2020.
That's a quote for today. Thank you.
I must have caught him doing something.
I was coughing before. All right. One, the architectural features will match the exterior of the remaining part of the building. There will be the area. When I say the area, I'll put the resolution. The new addition shall not be rented to a separate tenant other than the tenant slash owner of the TLP Realty LLC space. Obviously, the intent there, it's not going to be an additional space associated with this space. There'll be no repair or manufacturing use in the garage area. No outdoor storage, of equipment or supplies on the site. There'll be no flammable supplies stored in the garage. There'll be no auto repair in the garage as well. Those are the conditions I have, Mr. Chairman. Okay. I don't know if Matt has any additional ones in his resolution, his report, or as he does. I don't see either. I don't see any real condition other than normal outside agency approvals. I don't think McKinley has any either.
No, just the note of the one design waiver, just to make sure that gets the final resolution. But no more conditions on my end.
Yeah, with regard to that design waiver, Matt, you have any concerns with that one?
About the building?
The roof. Yeah, about the roof.
I think that the architectural designs that we have predated this building when it was built. So what they have is fine, matches what's there. So.
Okay, so I think, Matt, you're referring to the architectural standards ordinance that we put in place after the building.
I believe that came afterwards. That's why, yes. Yeah.
And again, that was put in place to, you know, ensure a consistent and you know, good, high quality look and feel to our commercial buildings. I think, you know, seeing pictures and, you know, I've seen this building actually itself, and I think it's a good looking building. And I think the addition would, if it matches the building, I think visually it would look nice. So I don't have any concerns about it either. Okay. So at this point, I'd like to ask board members to either make a motion to approve this application with the conditions Greg just read, additional ones if you have any, or alternatively, motion to deny. So can we get a motion, please?
Lambros will make a motion to approve.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Can we get a second, please?
I'll make a motion.
Second it, Ross.
Okay, looks like Barry jumped in there ahead of you, Andy. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Lambros.
Yes.
Mr. Frost.
Yes.
Mr. Morelli.
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara.
Yes.
Mr. Mangano.
Yes.
Mr. Barthelmess.
Yes.
And Chairman Novellino.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, for your time and consideration.
You're welcome. Okay.
Be well, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. So Pam, do we have any new business or old business?
We do not, but I have nothing on the agenda. Well, October, I have two items on the agenda, and then, of course, these resolutions for the end of October. So that's it. I have nothing new right now to discuss.
Okay, and we're going to try and target a real live in-person meeting in October. You think that's going to be feasible?
No.
No.
No. No, I do have to tell you, I mean, I believe that these are working out very well. Mr. Morris, he's got it, you know, all happening there. And I think this is working well right now for people. So potentially next year.
Year.
Yeah, next year. We'll see. November, we're not having a November meeting, except if we have to do a resolution, we may be able to do something with that. But I have no December meetings. No December meetings.
That's nice.
Okay. So that's no November and no December?
Well, November is the day before Thanksgiving. And the only thing that we may have is just the memorialization of the resolutions. So I'll put the pies in the oven and we can memorialize the resolutions and that'll be it. But that's all we have there. But we can discuss that.
Okay. So let's discuss it. Let's discuss it later.
Okay. And, Fran thinks we're nuts, but that's okay, Fran. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Now all we need is a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
So someone want to make it?
I'll make it.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, in a second.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 All right.
Goodbye, everyone.
Meeting adjourned.
Bye.
Stay safe, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.